I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
I mean, if it means anything, you're probably going to have 20 or 30,000 people hearing this.
I need to go change my music.
I need to go change my underwear.
Serious question, can you actually tell the difference between who's talking?
I'm starting to.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I don't know who is Tim and who is James.
People will probably like listen to this podcast, and by the time it gets to the end, they'll be like, so when's the second guest speaking?
Oh, man. Have you guys been recording all of this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. This is the type of stuff that I have in my intros.
Yeah, I listened to one of your other ones. I heard, yeah, pretty cool, man.
I took a nap in a podcast recently.
Did you?
I just, like, had been up too late, and I was like, from this point forward, this is a podcast that features only these two guys. Like, I'm out. It was at the end of the Sam Hinkie ones. Once you guys get off, you should really listen to that Wizards podcast. I really liked it.
Yeah, I'll give it a
so,
take it a listen.
Anyways, hey, listeners, thanks for listening to Almighty Ballin', the Almighty Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at FanEssentials.net. FanEssentials.net, you know, this is where I would say their slogan or whatever, but I don't think they have one. I'm going to check the site. Okay. FanEssentials.net, get NBA gear delivered to your doorstep every month. Sign up now. So that's good.
That must have been like one of the worst advertisements ever.
Okay, first of all, who said that? And second of all, use promo code almightyballer.com. If people end up buying after this promo, I'm going to let you know and you're going to sound dumb.
Yeah.
And third of all, okay.
I'm going
to
sound so stupid.
All right, let's try to get this established. James.
Yeah.
Who's James?
Yeah, I'm James. My voice is a little bit deeper. All
right, so James, let's say that you were listening to a podcast and you wanted to know a handful of things in a 30-second soundbite about who was talking. What would you say about yourself?
Put me on the spot. Yeah.
Did that make sense? So it's like Twitter info. Your life.
Sounds like a job interview. Why should we give you this? What is the quality?
Yeah. Twitter. Well, I can give you my Twitter.
Do you have a Tinder account?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to change the range to like 500 million miles or whatever and you might get close.
Likes long walks on the beach. Beautiful blue eyes. What I like in a listener is just big tits.
Alright, so do you want me to give it to you now?
Yeah. Just say, hey, James. Okay, so James is the Rockets fan?
Yeah, Rockets.
Okay, cool. Yeah, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is at James D'Elia with 3 A's. So James D-E-L-I-A-A.
Okay.
And
just as a brief aside,
you just like cut it all together.
Right, okay, exactly. All right. You're going to be amazed how clean all of this is.
Just make me sound good, yeah? Don't make me sound stupid.
Yeah. You're going to be like, what the fuck? How did this clean, polished, amazing product end up from what we just recorded?
Really? You can make me sound stupid. I'm kind of funny, I hope.
So, anyways, and then, hey, also, the Cavs don't know what the fuck they're doing, so.
I think it should be the other way around. LeBron, if anything, he's the one in charge there, man.
Seriously.
LeBron will find out, man. He'll come find him.
We'll see. But keep an ear out for that, all right?
Because
James is here today, and besides his Twitter, which is, I guess, all the info he can give me. That's good.
All right, for House of Houston, if you want to hit that up.
Right, there you go. That's the type of stuff I'm looking for.
Okay, cool.
Good. Rights for House of Houston? Is that a .com?
Yeah, I think it's just houseofhouston.com. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, cool. So houseofhouston.com, find James, and find his brother, Tim. Tim, what's up?
Hey, man. My Twitter is T-D-E-L-I-A, so T-D-E-L-I-A-96. I write for like three things at the moment, including, you know, my special article for you.
AlmightyBaller.com, guys.
Yes, I write for Nugler.
Ever heard of it?
Shout out. Yeah, I write for Nuglove.com. Also, contributor to the Denver Psychics. You guys should check that out. That's a big thing I'm working on. You know, me and a couple of guys bring back... Well, what's our... Yeah. Join our mission to hashtag take back Denver. There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Denver Sidekicks. Follow.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And all right, well... If anyone else is interested, I also write for Eurostep NBA. So, like, we're following the European players. Not like anyone else, just mainly the European players. So I get to talk...
Yeah.
Because I'm a...
Australia, just so everyone knows, Australia is in Europe. sort of near Czechoslovakia, Germany.
How do you know?
Hitler famously is from Australia. Wolfgang Mozart.
Yeah, see, it's pretty funny. I write for all this, you know, random shit. Nothing to do with Australia, but hey, why not?
I can identify with hating my country of origin, so... anyways, so we got Tim and James on today. Identical twins?
Yeah, identical.
You guys? And one is a Rockets fan, and then one is a Denver fan. And, I mean, how does that work? Was that designed? Did your parents, for Christmas one year, like, give one of you guys a Rockets jersey and one of you guys a Denver jersey? And they're like, we'll pit them against each other to compete.
Well, actually, like, we only started watching basketball, like, 2-3 years ago.
Something
like okay.
That.
And
I started watching basketball a couple weeks ago, so
I can tell from your articles, man. Yeah, yeah. So we started playing like 2K and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the AFL team I go for, they're red. I go for Arsenal in the Premier League, so they're red. So I was like, oh, Houston. And I thought like James Harden was a fucking mad dog. So
do you
like,
still yeah, feel that way?
Sounds good to me. Go for the Rockets.
Okay. Did you see the game last night?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're rooting for James Harden, would you say that you're like, think when he hit that buzzer beater, right? When you're rooting for him,
please, do you look... Well, that was preceded by me absolutely losing my shit when Ariza fucking inbounded it. Oh, yeah, my God.
I was watching it with him. I thought, he's just like, team, get out of the room. Like, get out of the room.
So your response was more like, I think Clint Capella freaked out, not like Dwight Howard, like, who just like could not give a shit.
Yeah, but that's a... Oh, that's so unfair. Like,
Terrence Jones was staring into my soul, like, through the
yeah,
camera.
Yeah. Terrence Jones, I think that buzzer beater, like, reminded him of something terrible and traumatic that happened, like, a long time ago for him.
He just remembers when Dame fucking dropped it all over him, mate. That's why.
Yeah.
Dame Dollar just getting buckets. That's what it reminded him
of. He was but, having these flashbacks.
Yeah. No, they celebrated... I think that was because of Lillard that, like, they didn't celebrate. Because it was all the players that were...
Is that a real like, thing?
Did you see Harden push off Demo when he came to, like, hug him?
Oh, yeah, I did.
That was so cold.
He was like, fuck out of here. What you doing?
What is that... Oh, boy. What is that mentality like? What's going on with the Rockets? Like, what... What is... Oh, man.
Do you mean, like, dysfunctional and everyone hates each other? Or...
It was more of a rhetorical question because I have to figure out a way to tie in our next team that we're also talking about, the Denver Nuggets.
Tell you, mate, let's just blame the disaster all on Ty Lawson. No, makes it so much easier.
No. Yeah, Ty Lawson is the tightrope that we're walking in between discussing the Rockets and the Nuggets simultaneously. So he's like the piece of floss that's tying the two together.
Well, as you say that, I'm looking at a framed Denver Nuggets signed Lawson autograph like right in front of me that's hanging on my wall.
Oh yeah,
that just hurts.
I have a Dennis Rodman jersey back here, dude. Oh my god.
Who do you go for?
He's a fan of the game, James.
Are you still a fan of the game?
He's a fan of the game, James, come on. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of how I try to portray myself. We cover everyone, including the Rockets and the Nuggets.
No one covers the Nuggets, don't be silly.
No, hey, but we just did a Wizards podcast, okay? Like,
what's next, Utah?
Yeah, well, oh, I mean, I had a bet for Utah this year. I bet my friend, who's a vegan, that the Utah Jazz would make the playoffs. And if he had lost, he would have had to buy me a steak.
You should have made him eat it instead. That would have been more fun, I think, for everyone.
So we're going to record a podcast, right? And then if he had lost, I was going to eat the steak while recording the podcast. Just like, while he's trying to say stuff, just like, man, this is good. Tastes like murder. But instead,
how the one defining feature of your friend is that they're vegan.
Well, no, but you see the connection.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But since he won, I'm gonna have to buy him a tofu steak, and and he's in Chicago, so I'm gonna have to figure out a way of finding a restaurant in Chicago that will deliver
tofu steak to him. That's a shout out to Uber Eats. Hopefully,
they follow us. Oh yeah, Uber Eats. Do you guys listen to podcasts? Yeah.
Like yours or just any?
Just any.
Yeah, I listen to Zach Lowe, and I think everyone listens to him anyway.
I'm trying to get SeatGeek to give me a personalized promo code, because like right now I have one that's like numbers. I haven't even been promoting them, but it's okay because like they're not giving me any money.
Yeah.
I want one that's like you know, Almighty or something like that. Hey, speaking of which, yeah, Almighty, check out fanessentials.net. Coolest NBA gear.
The thing is, man, you're not a real podcast until you're sponsored by SeatGeek.
Okay, first of all, fuck you. Okay.
It's true though. Every podcast you listen to, like about sport, it's all SeatGeek.
You sure?
I can't keep a segment where you invalidate my illustrious podcast with your SeatGeek bullshit. Take it outside. Okay? Bring it to the corner. Throw it out. I don't need that. I don't need that negativity.
Is Jalen and Jacoby sponsored by whatever? I don't even know.
SeatGeek, man.
It's actually, you pick seats or some shit. I don't know. Like, obviously, is it aftermarket tickets or something? Is it resale?
So, SeatGeek... Dude, we're not going to talk about SeatGeek. They're not. SeatGeek is bullshit. Fuck SeatGeek.
And they give me a personal code. That's when you shout them out.
Yeah. I'm going to send like a clip of this audio, me being like, SeatGeek sucks. And this is going to be in every podcast until you give me my own personalized. So step on it.
Step off SeatGeek.
Yeah. So let's see.
I've got them up here.
So Australia, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Australia is pretty. Wait. I just pulled up notes that I had for a different podcast. It says, Sam Hinkie, what is smart?
I is smart. I just opened my Twitter and I see hardwood paroxysm. Everybody gets a flagrant. You're flagrant. He's flagrant. This whole court's out of flagrant.
Do you see Draymond's got upgraded to flagrant?
Did it?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not that it matters.
Yeah, offensive.
Yeah, the referees decided that it was an offensive foul. We were talking about officiating and how that's sort of an interesting dynamic of, you know, there are certain calls that can define the game in such a way that it's like, you know, the game wasn't decided by the basketball players, it was decided by the ref, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but if you look at game two, Houston came back and I think it was maybe 3 points. They got it to within 3 points. It was in the fourth quarter. And then just Thompson at the line. And they got it back up to like 11. And then it's just like, when things like that happen, you should have seen every single Houston player, every time there was a foul, they just like, you know when you feel like you're just beaten and there's nothing you can do?
No, I don't know personally what that's like.
I'm just used to winning all the time.
Well, if you weren't a fan of the game and you know you followed the actual team, you would understand.
No, actually, I am from Dallas, so wrapping back around to your question, like, who are you a fan of? As a Mavs fan, the last couple of years, I've become really intimate with what it's like to lose. So. Yeah.
He's either a magician or a puppeteer or some shit.
He's the best coach in the NBA. I'm just going to say, he's genuinely the best coach in the NBA.
You know, okay, so my aspirations are to ultimately be an NBA coach. And
yeah, just don't be shit like JB, please.
And I mean, I feel like I'd be better than Bickerstaff or Brian Shaw, you know?
Brian Shaw.
It's funny.
How long
did you say the Kings are looking at him for head coach next year? That would be the most Kings hire in the history of Kings hires. Except
if they get Brian Shaw.
Spyro Shaw. You guys know Spyro, right? The little purple dragon in Sony games?
Yeah. Oh, Spyro. Yeah.
Spyro Shaw. Unicorn. So, my way of evaluating how good a head coach is, you know, you're a bad head coach if I think something to myself like, okay, this is what the team should be doing, and they don't do it, and you're a good head coach if you do the thing that I'm like, okay, this is how you should be playing, right?
Yeah.
That will typically work out for you. But the really, really, really good coaches, because, like, I'm pretty smart and I know basketball, but I'm not as good as, like, Carlisle or Popovich. The really good coaches do stuff that I didn't think about, I didn't even consider, and it works. You know?
Yeah.
To me, it's tiers like that. I could not have been given the Celtics and done what Brad Stevens has done with them. I couldn't have been given the Mavericks and been as successful as Carlisle's been. And I didn't know how the Spurs were going to implement LaMarcus Aldridge in a way that could be dominant, but they fucking figured it out. So,
Pop going to pop, man. That's why.
Yeah. No, I mean, my preseason predictions or whatever were pretty spot on. In fact, when you listen to that Wizards podcast was celebrating a bet that I had for a signed Hassan Whiteside jersey with my co-host, Lux.
Yeah.
I said that the Heat were going to be better than the Wizards, and that whole podcast is just me bragging about it.
Yeah, we have one of our friends, he's a Wizards fan, and we would just see him every single day.
He's just depressed and, like, he's just beat down, just so upset. Like, Bradley Beal injured again. John Wall, like, 50 turnovers again. Just
yeah.
Randy Whitman was a bad coach. I don't know how he got an extra year. They should have sacked him last year.
Well, man, I don't either. We talked about it. Hey, if you want to find out how, okay, just listen to the fucking podcast. Speaking of Wizards, the name of that podcast, okay, this was one of my better names, Harry Podcaster and the Half-Baked Bet.
Do you just sit in your, like, do you just, like, get high and just, like, what words go together? That's classic. I enjoy
anyone that could be listening to this. I actually know that Obama listens to this podcast, and he might send, like, a SWAT team to my house if we talk about getting high. So
bullshit. Obama raised my house if you snarled too. Yeah. Michelle Obama retweeted me.
Really? Yeah, I know. So anyways, what is it like being an NBA fan in Australia? Question mark. I'm puzzled. Inform me.
You can hit this one. You can go first.
Okay. Well, what we get is like Fox Sports Australia's take on everything, because there's no one else really reporting anything. And Fox Sports is just like, oh, Ben Simmons is the king. He's going to go number one in the draft. And that's effectively what you get. And then you're like, oh, Steph Curry does this. And yes, I know the Golden State Warriors are 73-9. Keep shoving it down my face. I know.
The thing is, though, still get Harden hate fucking here, man. Like,
yeah, Harden hate goes everywhere, don't worry.
Yeah, Harden hate's everywhere.
Dude, his own teammates don't like him.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, oh no, it's alright. We'll wait till Houston stuff till I start abusing the shit out of Harden.
Yeah, but, well, I saw somewhere, apparently Australia's number one for NBA store purchases, like, merchandise and shit.
I know from my site analytics that Australia is right behind Canada and the United States, so.
Yeah, it's like Australia.
Then it's Russia.
Do you know why? It's because of us, James. It's because of us.
Yeah, we're getting the word out. Well, if you go to, for people just do work, when there's like basketball, I'm like when, because on Tuesday, so it was Tuesday, Monday night, Houston played Golden State, but it was Tuesday here. I just walk through and you just look at everyone's laptop, like all the guys.
Yeah, everyone's watching playoffs.
Everyone's just watching the playoffs.
Huh.
No one does work. Everyone just watches the playoffs.
I was in the middle of it and one of my friends, me and him, was just started watching, I think it was Miami Charlotte, and just, you know, just watching.
No, I have from 6 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday.
Fuck that.
And I just watch basketball during it.
Yeah, because most games are like 7 o'clock, aren't they, for you?
Yeah, Wednesdays I just get... And yeah. You know what was a Wednesday? Is the Warriors' 73rd game and then Kobe's last game, so...
Yeah, that was a Thursday.
I just left, you know?
I gotta watch Kobe, man.
Yeah, no, but that's a thing, though. I mean, for me to, like, do all this site maintenance and shit, like, fuck that. I don't need that noise.
Yeah, yeah, man, that's what happened to you. No one gives a fuck about uni. But that's the thing, though. So
everyone just watches basketball.
Yeah, it depends on who you're talking to here. I think it's increasingly going that direction.
Well, someone will come up to you and be like, oh, man, what's the score? And they'll just talk to you. And, like, no one cares about fucking work.
Well, is football still number one for you guys?
Okay, so...
I thought it was baseball.
The baseball being American's pastime...
Different seasons, though.
...is outdated probably by about 40 years. cool. It's still called the American pastime, but the American pastime in the same way that, like, I don't know, going to the drugstore and getting a vanilla shake with your squeeze is the pastime, you know? People don't, like, do that, you know?
Yeah.
I've got some good news, Cannon. We've been sponsored by the great folks at FanEssentials.net.
That sounds cool.
You pick your favorite team. In your case, the 76ers.
Yeah, a lot of potential.
A lot of assets. Look really good on an Excel chart.
Yeah, they do.
Let me tell you the process.
Hey.
pick what size shirt you wear. Pick the gender of the person you want to send it to. Yeah. Pick their favorite team.
Or you just do a toss-up and maybe you just...
Just pick some team. Any team. That's the great thing about FanEssentials.net. Every month, you're going to go out to your mailbox like a kid on Christmas morning, and boom, you get this nicely aestheticized box. You open it up, and you see all the greatest and latest fan gear from your favorite team, the Philadelphia 76ers.
What kind of things would be included?
Let's say it's summer. Maybe you'll get a 76ers beach ball.
That's perfect. Deflate immediately, just like the organization.
Let's say it's winter. Maybe you'll get a hat, woolly scarf, some gloves.
That's cool.
Spring,
one of them.
Maybe some flops.
Really want some flip-flops.
Yeah, you get some 76ers flip-flops and walk all over them, just like Sam Hinkie. Walks all over the fans. Hopes and dreams. You can trade them with your friends. They can give you a second-round draft pick.
Pick a center.
Get a bunch of flip-flops, too large of a size.
Potential to be a really good flip-flop. I heard there's a certain promo code. What might that promo code be?
I had a prophecy, one might say.
Okay.
The promo code Almighty is going to get you 30% off your first month subscription.
That sounds great.
It is great.
That sounds great to me. There are different size boxes though, right?
Yeah, Kenan, you're so right. You can get a $14.99 rookie package or a $34.99 veteran package. So if you want to splurge on your cousin in Minnesota who's a Boston fan, your cousin
in Boston who's a Minnesota fan.
Yeah.
There's endless possibilities.
If you want to splurge on them, or if you're balling on a budget, 30% is a lot.
It's a lot of percent. Now, if the Sixers had 30% more of a win percentage...
They have a win. 30% of that is good.
So they... Yeah, bad example.
Whether you're a Warriors fan or a 76ers fan, go to FanEssentials.net, get 30% off the promo code Almighty, and start getting the coolest gear, and all the while, you're supporting Almighty Ballin, the Almighty Podcast. So thanks for listening to this promo. You know, go Sixers. I like Nerlens Noel.
His hair, too. I'm an Ish Smith guy as well.
That's some good ish.
It is.
If you're a 76ers fan, you're a good sport, just like basketball is a good sport.
Hey.
We're going to return to the episode. How do you like that, Kenan?
That sounds good to me. I can't wait.
I'm the Prophet.
I'm the Kenan Womack.
Thanks for going out there and supporting us by ordering from FanEssentials.net at some point.
Keep it balling, guys.
Keep it balling. To ball is awesome.
Eloquent.
You know Bill Simmons? Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I've never heard of him. The ring.
Yeah, Bill Simmons was talking about a while back.
The ring, like, shout out. Do you want to hit me up, man?
Yeah, I have a Bill Simmons sponsorship. By which I mean, I had a dream about him in a post-apocalyptic universe the other day. I did. It was great. The sky was red, and a homeless person attacked my girlfriend. And
this is what happens when you eat too much.
So, like, shout out Bill Simmons, the dream weaver. But
hey, by the way, talking about Bill Simmons, did you know that Thon Maker went and lived with him for a year?
I didn't know that. And ooh, what? That's like up on the list next. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, he took him in. So I think it was Thon, or maybe it was Taco.
Just don't worry about it, man. So you should find.
I think it was either Taco or Thon. They were.
Who is Taco? Is it?
I don't think he's gonna play. But yeah, no, he's Singalese. Yeah, do you know Taco?
Is it
Ball?
Taco?
Really?
No.
Yeah, his name's Taco. Like,
Taco?
We heard all this shit.
How do you spell it? Is it spelled
T-A-C-K-O.
Like...
T-A-C-K-O.
Oh, okay. It's not like T-A-C-O.
No, yeah.
Is he from Adelaide?
He's from Senegal. I don't even think he's Australian.
No, he's not.
Apparently, he might not play basketball, but he's 7'6", and apparently he's just taking the piss.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah.
In whatever he's playing at the moment. I think it might be him, not... No. I don't know. Just... No, I'm pretty sure it was Thon Maker. So he
Maybe you're just talking shit, Tim. I think you're just talking
shit.
I think Tim's full of
shit. No, yeah. It was Taco.
Yeah, I think he's full of shit.
Taco, not
Just get out of the...
Yeah, fuck you, Tim.
No, it was Taco, not Bill Simmons. No, Taco, not Thon Maker.
So, I'm glad we had that aside. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about... Yeah, carry on.
So, you answered how popular and how fast it's growing. Do you like Exum?
Yeah, man, Exum's a gun. He'll actually be good.
So, you guys, Exum's going to work out for sure?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not just because I'm Australian. Like, I think he's a good player.
You watch the boomers are coming.
Did you see the recent article written by a dude in Canada, actually, Armon, about Exum? It was... Yeah.
Was that Dante's Purgatory or something?
I think. Yeah, did you read that?
Yeah.
Is it because he's, like, too skinny?
I mean, like...
Could be Tayshaun, man. Could be Tayshaun Prince.
Different position, though.
Yeah, 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 but I mean, like... has absolutely no arms.
Tayshaun was in the league last year. Did you get to watch any of the Wolves?
No, we watched the Pistons.
Yeah, when he was at the Pistons. Like, his last year's season.
Yeah, but even then, like, Tayshaun can't dribble for shit. He just gets freaked out.
Yeah, I know. I just meant, like, body shape. Like, his arms. Like, he has absolutely, like, no arms. They're just, like,
stiff. Yeah, so, like, how good are we talking? How good do you think he's going to be? Like, a star? Or, like, a starter?
Are we talking NBA or are we talking boomers at Australian basketball?
We're talking NBA. Who gives a shit about basketball? Oh,
We'll be alright this year. If Ben Simmons isn't going to play, but we still have, like, Patty Mills.
Delly.
Yeah, Delly.
I'm predicting an upset from the team from Madagascar.
Yeah?
Sure. Yeah. Like, the Manny the Lion and the zebra voiced by Chris Rock. Madagascar 4, like, the dream team.
Yeah, probably they're better than Exxon, man. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll work out.
Dante?
Yeah.
The reason why I am not sure about him isn't so much based on him as a player, but based on trying to screwdriver him into the Jazz.
Yeah.
So,
like, look at Trey Burke.
The Jazz were a lot like, you remember a couple seasons ago that big trade that happened between the Bucks and the Suns that sent Brandon Knight to the Suns?
Yeah.
And then that sort of castrated the Bucks a little bit.
Yeah, because with Michael Carter Williams, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that it's a similar situation where the Bucks slash the Jazz would be better with a Brandon Knight type point guard, but I see Dante Exum being more like Michael Carter Williams. And,
yeah.
I mean, so I like Dante Exum in the right...
Yeah, and he's a good fit. I agree.
I like him in the right system, or I like him... And this applies to Ricky Rubio, too. I like him coming off the bench and being sort of like Sean Livingston has been this year, you know?
Seriously, he took over that game against Houston yesterday. He's destroyed us.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, Dante Exum could do that every once in a while. I mean, like...
How tall is he?
He would be...
6'5", I think.
Dante is, like, 6'6",
6'5". Yeah, it's big for a point guard.
Yeah. Sort of those defensive-oriented lack...
You can talk about, like...
So, a lack of spacing isn't as devastating for a second unit.
Yeah.
For a handful of reasons, perhaps the most of which being that second unit centers don't protect the paint all that well anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who Yusuf Nurkic is? just thought I would say that. Just put that out there.
Nurkic. Does he play...
You actually don't know who he is.
Does he play... it's starting to come to me.
Denver.
Wow. Really? I didn't know how bad the problem was, like, that no one knew shit about Denver, but...
Oh, geez. I was just kidding.
Okay. Fair enough. No.
I know.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I know everyone everywhere.
It wouldn't surprise me.
He's the dude who dunks all over players a lot better than him and then stares at them.
Yeah. Do you see him block LeBron? And LeBron was on the ground. He just stood there and was just staring at him. And then he just, like, shrugged his shoulders and ran off.
Dude, I like Nurkic a lot.
I love him. He's so funny.
So...
But you won't love him when he gets traded.
Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to remember from your article. Did you say that you should... You said him and Jokic, they should hold on to.
Yeah, nah, Joffrey's probably going to be the one that ends up... Well, the problem is Malone loves Joffrey. Like, on my Twitter, every single game, Joffrey gets held in. Like, I don't understand what... But that's my criticism, Malone. My one criticism. He doesn't change the lineups once they're in. So he'll stick with one thing. So he'll stick with the second unit too long into, like, the fourth down the stretch.
Yeah.
So he keeps the second unit into, like, 6-8 minutes left in the quarter... when the other teams had their first unit in that whole time.
Yeah.
And, like, Joffrey's not a good defensive center. He's really good offensively. Like, he's got some good moves, got everything. But defensively, he just gets lost. And he's... I don't know how tall he is. I think he's close to 7 foot.
Yeah, 6'11".
People just go around him and just dunk on him, lay up.
Human traffic code.
Effectively, he's a power forward, not a center. And... he just gets a minute at the center, and if he's going to keep playing at center, we need to get rid of him, to be honest. That's just my opinion. But
yeah, I mean, Mike Malone's lineups and stuff, I think that the idea in the NBA of having set minutes rotations, just by nature of the fact that you can think of whole bunches of reasons for why set rotations are a bad idea, mm-hmm. but just going from evidence, Popovich, Carlisle, Brad Stevens don't have set rotations.
Yeah.
You know, they'll switch out if there's something they can exploit. And I also thought that the Pacers were going to beat the Raptors in this series, And that's because Dwayne Casey never changes his rotations.
Dwayne Casey never changes his rotations. It's exactly the same thing.
Well, he has been the last couple of series. I think he must listen to my podcast because I was talking to Oliver about, like, they need to run a lineup for, like, at least 20 minutes or so with Kyle Lowry, Corey Joseph, and DeMar DeRozan on the floor. Because
that would turn
things upside down for the Pacers. They couldn't deal with that.
A little bit of small ball.
Yeah. And that's like what happened.
So did they run? I haven't been watching.
Yeah, they did. Pacers. They ran that. They've been really low scoring games, and then certain select rotations when people get fresh or number gets called or whatever, these particular lineups that they only use for like 5 minutes every couple of quarters, you know, they'll way outscore the Pacers, and then they'll throw in a whole bunch of guys who just hold it there, sort of just eke out as many points as the Pacers are eking out.
Yeah.
Casey's been pretty good the last couple games. Things that I thought he wouldn't do because he's not done it in the past, he has been doing. I think he must have called up Carlisle.
Well, it's good to see improvement for him. Like, I wish I could say the same thing about Bickerstaff, man, but...
Oh, God, Bickerstaff doesn't know what the f*** he's doing, dude.
Seriously, like, when he came in, I think he became an assistant last year at Houston. I think it was last year.
Bickerstaff? As an assistant coach or head coach?
No, assistant coach. Like, I think he became an assistant at Houston last year.
Last season. I mean, like, I don't know, man. Like, the fact that we both don't know that is probably a bad sign.
I'm pretty sure it was last year because he was the reason our defense was good, which I cannot explain to you why the fuck our defense is absolutely disgusting now.
Because he didn't get to choose the lineups.
Yeah, that probably makes a lot of sense. I think Mikhail, it was a bad idea to get rid of him.
Yeah, I guess I don't know the situation personally enough to know whether what you're saying is true, that he was the defensive guy.
I don't know either, but that's just what they said on, like, Houston Rockets assistant. Oh, no, he's been an assistant since 2011, so there you go.
Talk it out of your ass, dude.
Yeah, but that's what they were saying on Root Sports, which is, like, the one that does Houston games. They were talking about how Bickerstaff was, like, coaching him on defense and everything, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good rule of thumb because unless you're like a player or an assistant coach or a coach, you don't really know what's going on strategically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good rule of thumb that when someone comes in and something changes, or when someone leaves and it changes, that's how you know what that guy was doing.
Exactly, that's the only way. Yeah, that's the only way you really realize. But I think the thing with Houston, the way... Well, this goes actually back to why Ty Lawson failed.
Yeah.
There's no... Fuck off, Tim. There's no set plays that we run all the time. There's a couple, but they mainly use, like, Demo and Harden. And when Lawson came, he sat in the corner. There was no pick and roll, nothing. He just sat in the corner and they wanted him to be a spot-up shooter. And the thing with Bickerstaff, none of that changed.
Yeah, we had a podcast talking about when Ty Lawson first went to the Rockets. And, you know, I have the whole prophecy thing, but sometimes I get stuff wrong. But it's not that it's actually wrong. It's that, you know, it's a matter of interpretation. You know, it's like a religious book where it's like, well, you know, the Bible might say that gays are bad, but, like, hey, it's just a matter of interpretation, you know? Like,
wait, are you sure?
When I say something that's wrong, it's probably that you interpreted it wrong.
Like, it was still right, man. It was still right.
One of the things that I said that was misinterpreted is that I said that the Rockets were going to be really good this year. But what I meant is that they weren't going to be good this year.
Yeah. Hey, that's on you if you thought I meant that.
I can always fall back on that. But one of the big things that we talked about is, like, having a belief in Kevin McHale over the course of a season, which he didn't fucking have, to sort of implement James Harden as, you remember, like, so you got into the NBA, like, 3 years ago, so...
Yeah, it was
I guess, like, you guys, like, don't know, like, early...
Harden's last season in OKC.
How about, like, 2009 Spurs? Do you guys know that team?
Not especially, no. Like, we watched...
Michael Jordan?
It was, basically, what the deal was is that in 2008, 2009, when the Spurs Big Three was really the Big Three, they sort of did a little bit what the Blazers are doing this year, where they had two functionary ball handlers between CJ and Dame, right?
Yeah.
And where it's like neither one of them is going to have like 10 assists, right? But both of them are going to have about 5 because they're sort of like both being sort of functionary playmakers. And the way that I saw it is that Tony Parker would be like Ty Lawson and like dribble it up the court, and James Harden would have to revert to the sort of play style he had back in OKC,
yeah,
where he was playing off ball. And it's not like you can't get enough points from that functionary position. Like, you just have to take shots that other players wouldn't take in that position, you know? It's like...
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he... If Lawson was bringing up the ball, the thing with that is there's no movement in our offense at all. No one cuts. Rarely people screen. It's just really... Ariza stands in the corner. Beverly stands in the corner. Dwight goes deep in the post to get ignored. And Demo just does whatever the fuck he wants. So Harden has to create all of that movement himself. So he has to drive, he has to kick it somewhere, and then that's when everything starts moving. Lawson, I don't...
But dude, like, that's what I'm saying, right? Is that, like, Ty Lawson demonstrated in Denver, and, like, Tim can say for this, Ty Lawson can run a functional offense.
Yeah.
He can be the locus for an offense that's moving around him. And all you would need is for... I mean, it's like saying, okay, the problem is that James Harden's teammates, when he's dribbling for 15 seconds at a time, the problem is that they need to move better without the ball. But, like, yeah. James Harden is a superstar. He needs to move better without the ball. Like, he needs to, be able to get his without having the ball up his ass all the time.
Yeah, even if they ran, like, a 1-2 pick and roll, if Harden's screening that guy... they're probably more likely they're going to expect Ty Lawson would kick it to him. So they're going to, like, adjust accordingly, and then he's got, like, a clear lane. But I don't think it's all on Harden, all of this. It has a lot to do with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Because they did nothing for him. I'm pretty sure they just said, oh, we have a ball handler, go play, go do something.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem is, like I said, it takes a while to fully implement a system. I mean, the Spurs are kicking people's teeth in, but... you see, like, month after month, LaMarcus sort of went
getting better,
right? Sort of implementing a team that way takes time, and the success would follow up if the whole Rockets locker room wasn't just a bunch of fuck boys.
So, effectively, what Houston has become now is what it was last year under Brian Shaw.
Just everyone hates each other, no one wants to play.
I'm surprised you guys, out of the timeout, haven't been like 1, 2, 3, 6 weeks or some shit like we did.
Oh, God, I remember that.
I remember reading about that.
I forgot how dysfunctional the Nuggets were.
Oh my God.
I remember that now, but in sort of mentally prepping for this, I just, like, it slipped my mind that the Nuggets were, like, a shit show. No, wait, okay, I knew the management was a fuck show for a while.
Yeah, straight up, Ujiri bailed. We were a bit...